present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello, hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, or as it's officially known to the British Anagram Society, More Unlive Hairy Cats. Once more, we're coming to you from the splendid theatre in the historic London borough of Richmond, whose fine Regency terraces were once home to such theatrical and literary luminaries as David Garrick, Edmund Kean, George Eliot and Virginia Woolf. But Richmond today isn't just about famous names and fashionable celebrities, believe you me. Let's meet the teams. They are on my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And would you please welcome our scorer? He's a well-built young man from Sweden, who's ably assisted by an attractive male voice choir of his acquaintance. Please welcome the very rippling Sven. Our first round is entitled Historical Headlines. Long ago, in the mists of prehistory, long before the advent of newspapers, topical events were recorded on the walls of caves. One can well imagine how primitive man might have hurried past gruesome paintings of saber-toothed tigers savaging dodos on the first wall and turned instead to admire a fine pair of mammoths on wall three. In this round, James, I shall provide you with a historical event, and I'd like you please to suggest some examples of the newspaper headlines likely to have been printed in the papers the following day. And the event is King Henry VIII splits with Rome. Tim, will you start, please?
Well, the Independent, straight to the point, the headline is Henry VIII splits with Rome. Guardian, Henry VII splits with Rome.
Daily Mail, Anne Boleyn's cellulite shock horror.
Telegraph, King rejects papal bull, gelatine and tallow.
The Daily Mail, Why the King Was Wrong by Paul Johnson on pages 8 and 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15...
Melody Maker, Greensleeves composer on top of the Popes.
The Stage, Jane Seymour says, stuff this, I'm off to the States to star in the soap.
The Daily Express, spot the head competition.
The Daily Telegraph, Lord Chancellor determined to make divorce easier.
Hello? The London Evening Standard, tube strike off.
That's it.
Okay, we come now to a popular round called Pick Up Song. In this round, teams, DJ Sven will toss some choice 12 inches onto my gramophone. For each of you to sing along to. Then, by means of some deft adjustments to my volume control... Didn't think I was going to say that, did you? He'll ensure that the music fades away while you're still singing. If, on the music's return, you're within an ant's kneecap of the original, I'll be awarding points. I can't be bothered to say what... I can't be bothered to say what points mean, but you can shout it if you like. This week's prize combines great-looking hair with the exhilaration of the Canadian outdoors. It's this hair-styling moose. Barry, we'll start with you. Would you please accompany the Platters singing Only You?
This world seem right.
darkness bright. Only you and you alone can thrill me like you do.
Taking it seriously.
Fill my heart with love for only you. Turned out nice again.
That's better.
Oh, you. And now James Cagney can make this change in me.
Nowhere near. Absolutely rotten.
Such glee you say that with.
Your turn, Graham. I'd like you to accompany Sam Cooke singing Wonderful World.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
Turned out nice again.
Don't know much about geography. I don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a slide rule is for. But I do know one and one is two.
Mother. That wasn't any good either. Okay, your turn, Tim. Would you please accompany the Ink Spots singing We Three?
We three, we're all alone, living in a memory. My echo, my shadow.
Know this one?
We three, we're not a crowd, we're not even company. My echo, my shadow, and me. What good is the moonlight, the silvery moonlight that shines above? Got plans for Christmas. I walk with my shadow. I talk with my echo.
No, go.
But where is the one?
My shadow. Lord,
oh, I know.
Where were you?
Willie.
What?
Would you please accompany the Doyle Carte Opera Company singing Model of a Modern Major General?
I am the very model of a modern major general. I am the major general.
I know the King of England, and I quote the fact historical from Harrison to Waterloo in order categorical. 3795, there is an institute of mathematical. I understand equations, both simple and quadratical. About my neighbor and theorem, I'm keeping with a lot of news. Lot of news. Ah, with many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings, animalculus. But still, it matters vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very model of a modern major general.
Our next game is called Science Charades and is derived from the erstwhile TV program Give Us a Clue. That show, you may recall, involved a game in which the participants were not allowed to speak and employed great imagination to create much laughter and hilarity. As the teams here are allowed to speak, our version differs in that one respect. And for obvious reasons, it differs in the other two as well. So, teams making use of nothing but your verbal dexterity, I'd like you please to take it in turns to enact the title of a well-known film, book, or TV program for the opposing team to guess. Tim and Willie, you're to start, and your title will shortly be broadcast to our theatre audience via the laser projector for Barry and Graham to guess. Meanwhile, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Zulu. Zulu.
Okay.
It's one word.
And it's a film. It's commencing now. excuse me. Excuse me, I wondered if you could just...
Yes. Turn left at the Elephant House.
Yes.
Cross the zebra. On past the pelican. And it's third on your right.
Oh. Thank you very much indeed.
The end.
Directions in a zoo, but one word.
There isn't a new blockbuster out called Whipsnade, is
there? Sounds terrific.
I'd like to see it. Yeah.
Does the syllable zoo appear in the one word?
Yes, it does.
You've got it, haven't you?
No.
What's the one place you've find that you're looking for?
I thought it came out of my performance as I was a man with crossed legs. Zulu.
Zulu.
Right, it's your turn now, Barry and Graham, and your title's going up on the laser projector. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day.
What? On what it was now.
It's a film, and it's, two words.
Well, you know, we can't have that fool flying all over there all the time, can we?
Doing the beef industry no good at all.
No good at all. We've got to stop him.
Well, take his passport away.
How to do it, yes. But today's the day we do it.
Well, that's obvious.
Yes.
Is next... BSE one word or three?
Today. Is today important in this?
Sounded tremendously important.
Yes. Take his... Was it license away or...?
I didn't hear. I wasn't listening.
Take his passport away.
Take his passport away.
Yes.
Passport.
Stop him flying
Stop
around.
Him.
Stop him flying. Wingless.
Ground him.
Ground.
Ground hot day.
At this point, I'd like to invite Sven and the male voice choir to provide the score.
27 for the weekend before lunch.
Okay, our next round is called Any Questions. In this round, I shall be testing our team's general knowledge with a series of questions posed by listeners. We've had quite a few queries in the mail room, and Sven has been working his way through them in order to pull them. How could you possibly guess what I was going to say? In order to pull out the least easy one. Okay, teams, let's see what he's come up with. Graham, I'll put the first one to you. Do spiders have ears?
If you really care, Humph, there was actually a famous experiment proving that they have ears in their legs. Because if you made a loud noise, a spider will run away. But if you pull its legs off...
Well, actually, you've come so close to the right answer that... Because, as you well know, Graham, you were trying to put it... I'll put it more concisely than you did. What are we talking about? Spiders do have very sensitive hairs on their legs. Isn't that interesting? Now, Willie, why, when someone is in danger of being hit by a golf ball, do golfers shout four?
Because the ball has usually struck the victim before they can finish saying, for what it's worth, you're about to be struck by a golf ball.
The real answer is it's just short for before. Or
it's
look
long
out.
For before, isn't it? Why not just say the?
What had Archimedes discovered when he leapt from his bath shouting, Eureka?
The hot tub.
Not very close to him. I'll read you the real answer. When Archimedes stepped into the bath, the water level rose. What a filthy beast.
You know.
He suddenly timing team. No, he suddenly realized that the displacement of water would help him measure the difference between a given volume of gold and that of a mixture of gold and a lesser metal.
That'd be the plug, would it?
Finally, Barry, who was the Frenchman who proposed the theory that the wind is caused by trees waving their branches? And did he have any other interesting theories?
I know this one. This was Jacques Le Conver, who had another theory about farts were caused by people saying, was that you? Wind orientated. The man was obsessed.
I have here a not very concise real answer. It was probably a Swiss man called Jean Piaget who made various studies into It's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. First, I have to announce that in response to last week's appeal, we received nearly seven letters, including six from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, wait a minute, let me see. Dear Rabbi Hugo, why? Does my typewriter always stick on the letter Y? Yours sincerely, Mrs. Trellis, North Wales. Now, on with the game, teams, and this week we'll be playing Morton's second parallel, which means that if two parallel moves follow consecutively, the order of play is automatically reversed. Oh, and since we're in Richmond, I'll reinstate Rule 7. Tim, will you start, please?
Rule 7.
Rule 7.
It fairly easy for us, thank you. Tottenham Court Road.
Putney High Street.
Mal.
The Quadrant.
Ah, nice.
St. Church Street. Thank you.
Richmond Road.
Third Gauge Walk.
There's a flutter of panic going on over there now.
Yes, can I clarify, Humph? Rule 7's been reinstated, but we don't have to use it in this game.
Tim's already used it twice.
Nice.
Unintentionally.
And unsuccessfully. No, I'm easy about Rule 7, to tell you the honest truth. Because otherwise, one doesn't want to get pedantic about the thing.
Okay, then,
Graham, you're poised. It's a rather dangerous point, I must warn you. Carry on.
I know what you say.
Did you say Brewer Street or was just...
No, I was going to say Brewer Street, but Humph warned me off that, so I'm going to go for Old Compton Street.
Cock Foster's.
For those listening at home, if he had said Brewer Street, it would have meant that two parallel moves followed each other consecutively, and the order of play would have been reversed. And we'd have been here all night.
King Street.
Kingston Church Street.
This is getting quite interesting now.
Pembridge Villas.
Euston Road.
Richmond Road. Reverse.
Have a quiet word with my partner here.
No conferring.
Too late, we just conferred. I think this is quite an apt moment to put the words Crescent and Mornington together in reverse order. Mornington Crescent.
Oh, not yet. Not yet. Oh, God.
He did. He did. It's now time for a round of limericks. No one really knows where the name Limerick comes from, although some experts believe that it might take its title from a town in Ireland, which is generally associated with meaningless nonsense. Belly Kiss Angel. James, I'm going to furnish you each with an inviting first line, and I'd like you to complete it in limerick form, taking one line each.
Furnish away.
And Willie, you're going to start. They do say when cooking with chives...
They do say, when cooking with chives, wait till the fire engine arrives.
They tend to explode.
Then you dump your load.
I'm speaking to you from St. Ives.
Okay. Jolly good. Graham, I have an aversion to dill.
I have an aversion to dill. I've been given an anti-dill pill.
Take 3 times a day.
In an unusual way.
It still gives me a bit of a thrill.
Jim, here's a good one for you.
Oh, thank you.
It's said that if Prince Charles eats sage...
It is said that if Prince Charles eats sage, he boils it until it's turned beige.
The sage he likes most
is Lorenz van der Kuyt. Oh.
Clever. Who he keeps in a very small cage.
Now, Barry, here's your line. There's something about oregano.
It prevents you from singing soprano.
To hit a top C,
take this tip from me.
Wear a truss made of Rusty McConnell.
Well, you probably want to know the score, so I'm going to ask the male voice choir for one more update of the score.
When this final game is over, oh, how happy we shall be.
It's called Just a Minim. It's based on the popular radio panel game hosted by Nicholas Parsons, who, I overhear, is regarded as something of a cult. In this round, I shall ask the teams to sing a popular song of my choosing without repetition, hesitation, repetition, mackerel, or deviation. Those not singing may buzz to challenge. Musical accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell at the piano. Incidentally, Colin tells me that in 1972, he won Young Musician of the Year. It seems it was a nice little chap and very handy about the house. The song is He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. And Barry, will you start, please?
He's got the whole world in his hands. Got the complete planet in his manual extensions. Got the entire globe inside his digital appendages. The overwhelming orb in his, the bits at the end of his arm.
I've just looked at this little box in front of me, and it seems there's been a red light on for some time, which indicates... Indicates
no
that
sign
Tim...
of trade, though.
No.
Tim,
never know your luck in a strange town, hum.
You said no deviation, hesitation, or mackerel, and it smelled pretty fishy to me. Hesitation
no.
and deviation.
No.
I thought it was rather good.
Did
no.
you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in that case,
thank
I'm
you,
playing
Will.
A different game.
Carry on, Willie.
Oh. Why me? I enjoy it. He's got the little tiny baby in his grip. He's got the elf in person. By the neck. He's got his small
challenge. Hold it, there's a challenge.
Why? I can't imagine why.
I think there's a challenge.
What? Repetition.
This thing isn't buzzing very well tonight, I have to tell you.
Repetition. Somebody blew their nose twice.
Actually, I heard that. Carry on, Graham.
He's got the little tiny baby in his hands.
Hang about.
Deviation from the tune.
That's a line I clearly remember singing some moments ago.
I consult Colin Sell. He knows more about deviation from the tune than
in
anyone.
In that case... Carry on, Tim.
Oh, no. Where are we... Okay. She's taken Europe on her feet. On her feet. She's got orbs in the belfry. Isn't that sweet? She's got...
Repetition.
You repeat.
You're not meant to...
Repetition.
You're not meant to interrupt me, huh?
I am. We buzzed twice.
No, we buzzed...
both buzzed once. Nobody buzzed twice.
Graham, I'm going to put you... You did buzz twice, didn't you? I mean, no. I know it may have been a nervous reaction, but you buzzed... You did buzz twice.
I buzzed once, like this.
I'll accept your explanation. It's nearly time to say goodbye.
Oh.
But not before the final decider tiebreak last round, which ends the show. This week it's Biblical Songbook. So I'd like some suggestions, please, for song titles likely to have been big hits in biblical times. Willie, you to start, please.
I'm going to sit right down and write a letter to the Corinthians.
The prodigal son has got his hat on.
I need a Hebrew.
There'll be bluebirds, Jehovah. On the White Cliffs of Dover and Gomorrah. Just you wait and see. When they begin to beget.
I'm just a girl that can't say Noah.
Ooh, hark at you. I'm in the mood for Leviticus. Epistle while you work.
Well, ladies and gentlemen...
Down at the old burning bush.
Zebedee six trombones.
Well, as the relentless juggernaut of time runs over the final hedgehog of hope... And the last traffic cone of fate is removed from the student bedsit of destiny. I see we've come to the end of the show. So from Sven, the male voice choir, the teams, myself, and the fine people of Richmond upon Thames, goodbye.
Timbrook Taylor, Barry Trier, Graham Garden, and Willie Rushton have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.